This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, Irirangi Tumotu, MPR.
Listening to live and on-demand shows has never been easier on MPR. All you have to do is go to the App Store or Play Store on your device and search up Access Internet Radio NZ. Select and download the first option at the top of the list. Once you've downloaded the app, the next step is to open the app and look for MPR. Once found, select it and then browse freely. Supported by New Zealand On Air.
Hi, I'm Greg Watson and welcome to this week's edition of Property Matters, where we talk all things property, both locally, nationally and occasionally internationally. So quite a bit to get through today, but first of all, I thought I'd talk about some statistics happening in the real estate market and then follow that up with some helpful tips about the tricks that home stagers use when trying to show off a property. But a little bit to get through first, a little bit of news. The Real Estate Institute of New Zealand has just released its press release for the stats relating to sales for August 2019. They say the number of residential properties sold across New Zealand in August decreased by 6.1%. So less properties selling. And there were some areas that had bigger decreases rather than others. In Southland, there was 33% less homes, Hawke's Bay 18% less, and Taranaki 16% less. What does this tell us about the regions? It tells us that, believe it or not, demand is high. When demand is high, people are reluctant to sell their homes because they're worried about whether they will be able to buy a new one. So that's actually a symptom of a busy regional housing market. The median house prices across New Zealand increased by 5.5% in August. That's up to $580,000 from $550,000 this time last year. The other thing that's interesting is that the price increases, if you exclude Auckland, if you take Auckland out of that calculation, because they are half the market by volume, and we look at just the rest of New Zealand, house prices or median prices have increased by 9.5% up to $498,000 from $455,000. Record median prices were recorded in Southland, which had a 29% increase. And here in Manawatu, Whanganui, a 25.6% increase up to $390,000 median price from $310,500 last year. Those were the two big ones, Southland and Manawatu, Whanganui. What does that mean? That means if you bought a house as even as an investment, owned it for a year, you've made a 25 to 30% return in those areas if you were to sell right now. That is incredible. So 12 out of the 16 regions saw an increase in the median prices since the same time last year, and eight of those had double-digit growth, according to Bindi Norwell, the CEO of the Real Estate Institute of New Zealand. So there really is limited stock in those areas, and that's something we're finding here in Manawatu. And there's just not enough homes for people to buy. So plenty of buyers. You could sell your home in a flash. The question is, though, where are you going to go? And that's causing the market to be a little bit concerned at the moment, or the buyers out in the market, again, low listings in this area. Leafing through my bits of paper here, let's find another bit of interesting information here. We can break down the prices a little bit, which I've done that in a separate article which is available online. But even Palmerston North City is up about, I haven't got it right in front of me, it's around about 18 to 19% when compared to a year ago. Now, don't quote me on that, but that's approximately where we're seeing things. And it's likely that the prices are going to go up by at least another 10% in the next 12 months. Why? Because there's not enough houses compared to the number of people moving into the area. So the rental pool is drying up. The buyer's pool is drying up. This makes it really hard for people to find properties, but it's great if you're selling, and it's the best time to sell, in my opinion, since around about since the global financial crisis, really, when the prices dropped. So what is the local city council doing, and what is the local government doing about this? They're trying to open up land, trying to develop as many houses as possible. The mayor has said on occasion that we need about 500 houses a year just to keep up with demand. That's not excluding a number of that is excluding a number of people moving here for special projects to do with Ohakia, Linton, that's Ohakia Air Force Base, Linton Army Base, the development of the road across the ranges where the Manawatu Gorge Road has been decommissioned effectively, and also the Kiwi Rail Distribution Hub. Not only that, but there's also a lot of work going on out at the science institutes to grow and expand some of the facilities there. So a lot of people moving into the area. And so this headline just the other day says, relating to Palmerston North, the suburb of Aukautere could triple in size under the latest proposal. So Palmerston North city planners have come up with a structure plan to guide the development of Aukautere into a cohesive village. And landowners and residents in Aukautere are helping the City Council shape a joined-up future for the suburb, which sprawls across terraces and gullies on that side of town. They've been collecting feedback on a draft structure plan for the area, and this could create 940 building sections on top of the 500 lots that are already there, and that's the sort of development that we need moving forwards. The structure plan included a new village centre, which could include four or five shops so residents did not have to cross State Highway 57 to the main shopping centre every time they wanted to buy a bottle of milk. I remember when I used to live in that area, even that shopping centre wasn't there. It used to be a drive into the nearest service station. Talks are also underway with landowners and the Education Ministry about whether a proposed new school for the area could be centrally located instead of the current Ruapehu Drive proposal. There is land put aside on Ruapehu Drive, close to the state highway, for a school. So they're looking at, are there alternatives? The draft plan also identified blocks of land at the end of Pacific Drive towards Turitea and between Johnston Drive towards Moonshine Valley that could be rezoned for residential development. So there's really twofold. They're trying to shape the future growth in a coherent way, the council wanting to make sure that that area flows, and they want to encourage the release of more land to meet the demand for new housing. There are Mr. Murphy, who's quoted in the article, talks about saying that there's a pretty good response rate and the draft plan would be reconsidered in light of the feedback. He was aware of concerns such as some plans to put high-density housing at the end of some cul-de-sacs at the edge of terraces and the need to improve Turitea Road. So there will be a formal process around this, working it into a proposed change to the district plan, which will be a formal process with submissions and a hearing, probably during 2020. So here's another article about Manawatu prices. The annual growth of house prices in Fielding rockets up, according to the Manawatu Standard. And it's not just according to them, it's according to the stats. The stats. Fielding's average house price is higher now, or at least during August, than that of Palmerston North, thanks to a number of new houses being built in the town. For those of you living in Fielding, you'd know that there's a lot of building going on, and Fielding's house prices are soaring, with almost twice the annual growth seen by homes in Palmerston North. What do they mean by that? The Real Estate Institute of New Zealand figures show that Fielding's median house price has shot up 29% since August last year to hit $462,500 last month. People are discovering that Fielding is a great place to live. It has a beautiful feel. It's slightly warmer than Palmerston North, I would imagine. But here's some stats. Palmerston North's house prices grew 16.5% over the same 12-month period. And earlier in this commentary, I mentioned about 18%. So this is the actual figures here, 16.5%. And the figures show that the average house in the city of Palmerston North costs $2,500 less than a Fielding home. Is this an anomaly? Yes, it probably is a statistical anomaly. But over the years, the Palmerston North and Fielding prices have increasingly got closer and closer. As well as that, a lot of the new property sales in Fielding are more expensive, according to Andy Stewart, the Real Estate Institute Manawatu spokesperson. He says it doesn't take many of those in a month to bump the price past Palmerston North. Andy Stewart said the prices will continue to climb because demand is still outstripping supply and it's a hard market to crack for first home buyers. Although it did recently get a little bit easier. I must say, the Reserve Bank cut the official cash rate to a record low of 1%, making mortgages easier to pay off. And then the Kiwi Build Reset has lowered the deposit for first home buyers from 10 to 5%. Unfortunately, according to Andy Stewart, he thinks that isn't actually going to help us much here because we need a lot more new properties. Data from CoreLogic economist Kelvin Davidson has said the annual turnover rate, that is, the percentage of the total number of houses in a year sold each year, was another key indicator of the strength of a housing market. The suburb of Fitzherbert in Palmerston North was one of the top 20 fastest selling suburbs in New Zealand with an 8.6% turnover rate. The Tararua town of Paihitua also made the top 20, not far behind Fitzherbert, with a turnover of 8.3%. Davidson said that demand for property was strong across the central North Island, leaving people scrambling to buy houses in cheaper areas that still had plenty of employment opportunities. And lots going on here indeed. Here's a word of warning for people buying houses. This article in Stuff Business: cancellation after buying $1.2 million dream home prompts legal victory. The cancellation of the sale of a home in Dunedin has prompted a court case. A couple who lost, in inverted commas, $150,000 after a buyer pulled out of a deal to buy their multi-million dollar home have won their bid to sue him, even though it's 5 years after the sale fell through. So Matthew and Tracy Strack agreed to sell their $1.2 million property in the upmarket Dunedin suburb of Mouldy Hill in 2014. That sale to David Gray was conditional upon him getting both finance and a written builder's report. But just 2 days after signing, Gray cancelled the agreement because the property had retrofitted insulation in its wall cavities. Despite a building inspector identifying no concerns with the property, Gray believed insulation could add moisture to the house. And it later turned out that his concerns were ill-founded, a decision by the Court of Appeal released this week. Gray had wanted to borrow the entire purchase price from a bridging loan from selling his existing home. He made preliminary inquiries, but no loan was ever obtained, the documents show. The Stracks cancelled the agreement on March 3rd, later reselling their property for $150,000 less than the agreed amount, prompting them to sue in order to recover the sum. An earlier High Court decision found Gray had breached the contract for failing to obtain a written report that met the agreement's requirements. Couple disputed the judge's decision to only award nominal damages, just $100, based on Gray's prospect of obtaining finance being so remote as to be negligible. The Court of Appeal rejected that earlier judgment and concluded that Gray would not have been able to get the valuation on time or that his application 2 weeks back would have failed. He just simply pulled out from that deal too early. The court decision noted that no loan application was even prepared, as Ross did not consider the financial information needed to recommend a loan to the bank's credit decision. So therefore, the Court of Appeal found Gray failed to show that he would not have succeeded in raising finance, so therefore, he's ordered to pay the Stracks $150,000, the difference between the contract price and the price realised on sale, as well as costs. So just a word of warning that if you are buying a property and using conditions to effectively pull out of that deal, you must be able to prove that you've tried to do what you have put in the conditions. For example, saying that it's subject to finance, you need to be able to prove that you can't get the finance. So be careful of that one. It's not just a matter of changing your mind or something along those lines. I read a meme recently online that said, and this is just completely random, but it's leading into the next song, said, have a look at what song was number one on your 14th birthday. So you can go online and you can see what song was number one on your 14th birthday, which I had a look at, and that song should define your life. Well, I can't say it's defined my life, but here is Real Wild Child by Iggy Pop.
I'm a real wild one.
Wild one.
Wild one.
Wild one. Wild one.
School, like a real, real cool. Gotta dance like a fool.
And we're back here on Property Matters. This is Greg Watson. We're talking all things property. Before the break, we're talking about news. We're talking about somebody who was sued for not continuing with the house purchase. But we're moving on to something.
I'm a real wild one.
Oh, there we go. I've got Iggy Pop coming back in. It's hard to keep a good man down, I can tell you. So we're now looking at having a change to five things that professional home stagers always use to make a room look amazing. So if you've ever wondered about this home staging idea, sometimes you can go into a property and it looks magic and magnificent. And I know from working in the real estate industry what a massive effect having a home stage can have on the sales price, sometimes tens of thousands of dollars, having it set up that way so well, worth its weight in gold if you have a property that's empty. But here's five things that professional home stagers will always use to make a room look amazing. So these professional interior designs, they look expensive, but doesn't cost as much as you think. We'll let you in on a secret that homeware experts appreciate a good budget to find, to complete a room as much as the rest of us. So, in fact, when prepping for house sale, many of the home stagers like to hit up Kmart, Farmers, and the local op shop for their finishing touches. I guess there is an art to it, and the trick is knowing which low-cost items look the part. So they got advice from three experts choosing their favourite picks of 2019. That's Gabriel Muir of Finer Home Staging, Jace Campbell, interior designer for Cocoa Republic, and Paula Grant of Copper and Pink, and how to pull a space together. And here's what they have to say. The point in which an interior really comes to life is after the major pieces have been purchased and installed, and it's that final layer of styling and accessories, says Campbell. It's not just the room's jewellery, it's a chance to apply your own personality. So let's have a look. Gabriel Muir says that she always gets compliments when she dances room with what she calls dancing jellyfish. It's true that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. When it comes to creating cohesion, art of any kind is better than a blank space. But watch the scale. Big is better in most cases, says Grant. Artwork adds personality and finishes a space. It also looks great in real estate photographs because large bare walls and living areas seem cold. But if your budget for wall hangings is slim to none, adding art can be as simple as printing out a group of personal photos from a warehouse stationery kiosk, add a thin white border and create a Polaroid effect, print them in matte, not glossy, and if you like a minimalistic vibe, make them all black and white. Muir says that when he's on the hunt for new wall art, it's definitely an important aspect when it comes to making a room atmospheric. So the dancing jellyfish piece, you can probably look that up on Google in terms of what you can get and what we're referring to there. This article actually, I'll just get the source. I've thrown away my piece of paper already. Bear with me. There it is. We'll pick it up off the floor. This is from stuff.co.nz. Now, plants are a beautiful and cheap space filler that can make any room feel lush. Ron Goh likes his inner city loft to feel like a houseplant jungle, it says. Plants, real or faux, add interest and drama to a room, and you can't really go wrong with them. Muir says that they're a big fan of plants as well as artificial flowers for the practicality. I always mix and match from doing real plants. I get the ones that are super hardy, such as a couple leaves of Monstera in a vase on the dining table or a pot full of mother-in-law's tongue. And you can juxtapose different shapes, heights and room placements to entertain the eye. Also, fresh herbs in the kitchen bring life and greenery and suggest you can just cut a little bit of foliage from the garden. Kmart has some interesting things these days that they suggest. Bowls that make a perfect DIY home for succulents and cacti. And in this article that was on Stuff, has some really good tips on indoor plants. So you can look up on the internet 10 best indoor plants to start off with. Now, according to Cocoa Republic, who are also designers, and that you see this as well when you go into homes which are staged, books add so much personality to a room, and if you curate the right ones. Campbell says that, for me, an absolute must is books. Whether it's a few or a lot, books add so much personality and colour. For instance, if you had a room of neutrals with some soft blush cushions Add in some pink and white coffee table books. Although small, they can really add a beautiful punch. Have some stacked in piles, and if you have a collection standing upright, frame them with some beautiful bookends. Cookbooks, big coffee table books, and art books are Grant's absolute go-tos. Here's another tip on home staging, out of the five tips. Plump up your pillows. Yes, you heard it here first. Plump up your pillows. To elevate the feeling of luxury in a room, buy feather inners for your pillows and cushions and refresh cushion inners if your current ones are on the flat side. They hold their shape better and they're lovely to cozy up to with a cuppa. Muir suggests Spotlight or Briscoe's. They make cheaper cushions look and feel far more deluxe. And Grant agrees that plump is always best for beds and sofas. And Campbell likes to add in a scatter cushion or two as an inexpensive way to layer and play with texture and softness. Keep it neutral or add some pattern and colour. Now, remember we talked about having bare walls and having artwork on the walls. Here's another tip, slightly related. This is called the white duvet tip. When it comes to bedding, plain white is often the best option to make a room feel spacious and sophisticated, according to Muir. She tends to save dough on the duvet cover when staging and opts for a farmer's set or a plain white waffle from Briscoe's. I spend a bit more, she says, on the feature cushions to elevate the feeling of comfort in the room. So save on the bedding and splurge on the cushions. Here's a trend watch, according to these designers, brass and marble. Campbell says that you can add even more personality by introducing natural materials like marble. Marble's very on trend and it offers a timeless luxury to any room. Play with scale and look out for pieces that offer colour. It doesn't necessarily need to be white. In fact, there are still plenty of ways to bring a space together that don't cost the earth. Why not have a look on the internet and look up the way that these people style houses and house staging. Pinterest is a good one to do. But if you have a marble bench top, don't be afraid to add some marble and brass accents like brass glassware. They all dance so well together, according to Grant. So there we go, five tips on how to stage a home. Hope that's of some help. Now, in important news here, this final article today, Ms. Monopoly is a version of the game focused on female innovators. So move over, Mr. Monopoly. There's a new entrepreneur in town and she's taking over the boardroom, or should we say board game, according to Stuff Entertainment. Toymaker Hasbro Inc. has announced the launch of Ms. Monopoly, a modernised reboot of its iconic money-making board game meant to celebrate female trailblazers and create a world where women actually make more money than men. So it's also, here's a little known fact about Monopoly. A woman invented it more than a century ago. And there's a new mascot on the game's cover too, the brunette Ms. Monopoly, who replaces the dapper top hat wearing Mr. Monopoly. And she's also a real estate mogul, so there we go. Alas, she doesn't sport a monocle, but does wear some pretty mean M-shaped earrings. So the Ms. Monopoly game marks the first time in the franchise's history where a new character will grace the cover. And while Mr. Monopoly is a real estate mogul, Ms. Monopoly is an advocate whose mission is to invest in female entrepreneurs. The coveted Park Road railroads and their ilk are replaced by Wi-Fi, ride-sharing tiles and groundbreaking inventions and innovations made possible by women throughout history. I can't wait to see the board, including chocolate chip cookies, solar heating and, yes, even modern shapewear. Instead of building houses and hotels, players build business headquarters. The game pieces include a hard hat, wristwatch, book, jet, goblet and free weight. Ms. Monopoly celebrates everything from scientific advancements to everyday accessories, all created by a woman. So the Monopoly game was originally the brainchild of a woman named Lizzie McGee at the turn of the 20th century. So if you feel you want to do a little bit of practice of your real estate investing, why not try Ms. Monopoly? That's got to be a good one. And I think I'll be trying to find that in a store near me soon. That's all we have for Property Matters. We've talked all things property. Some irreverent, some serious, but it's all been a heck of a lot of fun. Thanks for joining me today. I'm Greg Watson. This is Property Matters. You can find this show wherever you can find good podcasts. Just search for Property Matters and put New Zealand somewhere in there to make sure you come to us. And we look forward to seeing you next week. Thanks for watching.
Sports
support this program and others like it by giving a donation to NPR. More details at npr.nz.